We've entered a little series together at the start of our year that we've been calling Shadowing Our Saviour. We've taken the key verse from 1 Corinthians 11, 1, where Paul says to the church in Corinth, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And there are many who have gone ahead of us here whose example we have been able to follow because they have been following Christ. But on this particular Sunday morning, with Joseph and Tommy and little Olivia there, having come to pray God's blessing on her and to seek his help as mum and dad to bring her up in the Lord, I thought it would be the right thing to do to spend a little bit of time shadowing our Saviour when, back in his day, there were a group of people who brought babies, infants, to him for a blessing. I thought that would be an appropriate thing to do. Mark tells us he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and why? To push the children away? No. To pick holes in the children? No. To punish them? No. To simply play with them? No. He took them up in his arms. It gives you a sense of how small these children were. Put his hands on them. Why? To bless them. To bless them. This is the heart of our God. He put his hands on them to bless him. And there's a key word for us to think about this morning. And Jesus will never bless anything that's under God's curse, so that we can know until that age, what some people like to call the age of accountability, when a child can get to the age where it knows the difference between right and wrong, can choose life in Christ for itself or not. They're not yet saved, but they're safe in the arms of Jesus. You know, and I'm not going to focus on that this morning. I'm going to focus on the blessing. But wouldn't that be a great title for a little book? Safe in the Arms of Jesus. I always feel for those that have lost little ones and loved ones very small. But I remember that David said, when he lost his boy of 1 week old, he said, I will go to him, but he will not return to me. But it's the blessing that I want us to focus on this morning as we try and follow the example of Christ and we shadow him together. And to give it a title, very simply, we are blessed to be a blessing. And we don't want to waste the opportunity that God has given to us. We've seen this morning, I've already shared it, potential is packed into each of us. As human beings made in the image of God, we don't want to waste that potential. God has blessed us in who we are and with what we have so that we can be a blessing to others. And we pray for Olivia that she'll grow to be the blessing in Christ that he wants her to be. And Joseph and Tommy, as mum and dad this morning, here thanking God for your little gift of a daughter. In doing so, you have been blessed, but now you need to be the blessing. You need to gift her with the encouragement and support and care and love that she needs. Blessed to be a blessing. That's for all parents everywhere. And if you're here as a follower of Jesus Christ, then he's gifted you with talent and ability that is there, not simply for your own sake, but to edify, to build up the whole body of Christ. Every Christian gifted, blessed to be a blessing. So if you've got a little map where X marks the spot where you've buried your talent, go and find it, dig it up and start using it, because it wasn't given to you to be buried, it was given to you to be blessed and to be a blessing. Paul tells the believers in Corinth that one reason God comforts us in our troubles, and he does. Do we know the heart of a comforting God this morning? Well, one reason he brings his comfort to us, says Paul, is that we can comfort those in any trouble that we know with the comfort that we ourselves have been given in Christ. What is that saying? We are blessed to be a blessing. Isn't that a great ministry to have? You see somebody come in the door, you know what kind of person they are, and you could almost say, whatever their name is, blessing's coming in. That'd be great. And people say that of you when you come in, and blessings just arrived. Or, oh, here comes the burden. We're blessed. I mean, going all the way back in time, it's why God called Abraham to the new land he was giving to him and his people. Why? Because he just wanted to bless Abraham and his people? No, because through Abraham and through his people, hey, guess what? God wanted to bless all the nations of the world. Blessed to be a blessing. Isn't that a wonderful thought? If you're here this morning and you've been forgiven, then you forgive because you've been blessed to be a blessing. You're here this morning and you've been given something that blessed you, then be somebody that blesses somebody else with what you can give. Jesus said, give to the one who asks you. And we go on and on, but we are blessed to be a blessing. For as Jesus made known to his followers then, also, the more we've been blessed with, the more responsibility we have to be the greater blessing in the lives of other people. From those who have been given much, Jesus said, much will be required. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be wonderfully blessed? Yes, it is. But the more we're blessed, the more opportunity we've got to be a blessing. And that's the marvelous nature of the one that we follow who blesses us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is a blessing? Is it just a way to ward off danger? Is that all it is? Bless me, Lord, because keep anything bad away from me. I think of the little boy who every time it came to mealtime in his own house would ask to give the blessing. And he gave the blessing. Every time his mum put something on the table for him to eat, he gave the blessing. And yet every time he went round to his nanny's house, he'd never give the blessing. And his mum said to him, why, when you eat at our house, do you want to give the blessing? And when we go round to Nan's, you don't want to give a blessing. And you know what the little boy said? He said, mum, it's because she knows how to cook. No danger there with Nan. Is that all a blessing is? Just a means of warding off the danger? Is all a blessing is to us just a pay rise? A good win? A short sermon? A run of good health? I hope not. The English Collins Dictionary defines a blessing like this: a gift or favor bestowed by God that brings about happiness. That's a gift bestowed by God. But sometimes, you know, because we are a people who follow Christ and understand that joy trumps happiness, we know that sometimes the blessing of God comes not through what he adds to us, but what he takes from us. Isn't that true? It's paradoxical, but it's wonderfully true. Somebody put it like this: what if the circumstances you're asking God to change are the very circumstances God is using to change you? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Sometimes we're so quick, get me out of here, Lord. And the Lord is trying to say, what on earth do you think I put you there for? Because the blessing is on its way. Sometimes our greatest disappointments end up being God's biggest opportunity and appointment with us. Isn't that the case? You know, I remember years ago when Kathy and I were at East Boulder Baptist Church, we'd only just moved into the village, and we discovered, I may have told you this, I don't know, forgive me if I have, but every Friday night the chip van came round. That was the highlight of the week at East Boulder. The chip van's coming. And in a community of 800 people, you can imagine how long the queue was. Well, we'd only arrived a couple of weeks, and you know what? Terrible, terrible thing. The chip van was late. The queue was getting longer. The groans were getting louder. And yet, in that time that around me everybody was moaning, God was giving me the opportunity to talk to one chap about a particular need in his life, which I haven't got to go into the detail of, but as a consequence of that, he started coming along to meet with me, came along to the church, was the first person whose heart was changed by the Lord in our ministry at East Boulder, because the chip van was late and everybody saw the burden of it. And God, in a wonderful way, revealed a blessing through it. Isn't that a marvelous thing? You might have been dragged along here this morning. Last place in the world you want to come to. But what? Joseph and Tommy, how can we let them down? You know? Or how can we not come when somebody's invited us? The last place in the world you want to be here is here. And yet, this may be the very message you need to hear, the very service you need to attend. So you can find, whatever your experience of church in the past, that actually you don't look to the church to find life. You look to Jesus Christ, and he always delivers on his promise. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Sometimes it comes through sorrow, doesn't it? Do you remember that Robert Browning poem? I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow. Never a word said she, but all the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. I'm not saying that God wants us to walk a sorrowful path. That's his intention, to take us down all those awful experiences. But you know, we're in life. We've got to do life. And life is dirty and unfair and difficult, isn't it? But through those circumstances, God is changing us to bless us, that we might become a blessing to other people. As Job said it, and he knew a little bit about suffering, when he has tested me, I shall come forth. Not just, I shall come forth. I'm going to come through it. You know, some of us get through it, you know, but I shall come forth as gold. I'm better. I'm more blessed for coming through it. Not just a more bitter and cynical person because I went through it. We are blessed to be a blessing. And therefore the thought that we're carrying right through these little series is simply that we are to become disciples of Jesus, who make disciples for Jesus. And how's that going to happen? I tell you, when we understand the blessing of God and we go out and bless others in the name of the God that we seek to love and serve. Isn't that true? Now, how do we do that? Well, time's going quickly. Let me just underline very quickly from the passage that Paul read a few things that we can shadow Jesus in that I hope and pray will make us a better blessing to those that we want to be a better blessing to. Amen? So we're not going to deal so much with the teaching that Jesus gives, but actually the way he goes about it. And I just want to underline four very, very quick things. The first is this. If you want to be a blessing, and you've been blessed to be a blessing, then like Jesus here, be approachable. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we read? People were bringing, let me put it there, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. Now I put it to you. No parent in the world is going to bring their child anywhere near somebody that hasn't got a warmth, an attraction, and an approachability attached to them. Are they? I don't think so. I mean, there's a warmth and a love and an acceptance and a compassion and a heart in Jesus that any good parent, any person can see. And he's so approachable. And if we're going to shadow him, we need to be approachable too. I know we live in times of political campaigns, and you see politicians, don't you? They love to pick up babies, don't they, and give them a kiss because they like kids, not necessarily because it's a good photo opportunity. And no politician is that dense, are they, that they can't actually understand that if they are seen to like children, chances are the parents are going to vote for them. You know, not necessarily all the time, of course, but I think that's why they go out and that's why they do it. Well, look, Jesus is not campaigning for votes here, is he, in Mark 10? You know, when people, most likely parents and grandparents, that we're not told, they were bringing their babies and small children to him. And by the way, Mark uses the word for infant, but in Luke's account, he uses the word for babies. So there's a mixture here. And of course, as I've already said, Jesus picked them up in his arms. So, you know, they must have been fairly small. I mean, I can just about get my youngest granddaughter in my arms now. She's 4 and a half, you know. I can still just about pick her up, putting her down with some difficulty. But these are young children that are coming to Jesus here. And he's approachable to them. And they were looking for more than a symbolic kiss and photo. They were looking for a blessing from the man who had a heart for people. a welcoming heart. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Are we that approachable? Somebody sent me this week, they may have sent you it, because there's a few people in the church that I've told you before, you know, want to spice up my messages. Anything to keep us awake, Sean. Send it through, and it comes through Facebook. And somebody sent me this through on Facebook. A few things that you never hear in a church. So you never hear this in a church. You never hear anybody say in a church, "Hey, it's my turn to sit at the front." Never hear that, do you? You never hear anybody say, you know, "Since we're all here early, let's start early." You never hear that, do you? Well, not very often. You never hear anybody say, "I couldn't find anywhere to park outside. Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. And you never hear anybody say, "Do you know what? I was so enthralled in that service, I never noticed we went an hour over time." You never hear that, do you? Look, there are things that you never hear anybody say in a church service, but God forbid, if I can get serious, not being welcoming should surely not be one of them. If we're going to shadow our Saviour, if we're going to be the attraction in His name to people so they get a sense of His warmth and His heart and His passion and compassion through us, we surely have got to be approachable. And understand, you know, that our demeanor says so much. Just that smile. You know, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You can get a handshake from some people and it can feel very cold. And yet somebody else, and I'm not talking about the strength of it, somebody else, it just seems to kind of lighten your spirit, brighten your day. Did any of you see that documentary this week on Dwight Eisenhower's wife? And this blind lady was brought in to see Mrs. Eisenhower. Did any of you see this? No? Not any of you? This blind girl was brought in to see the president's wife when he was president, because they were doing a charity drive, and she was invited to go and meet the first lady. And she took her mother in with her, and just as the president's wife came out of one door and into the main room where they were going to meet, the mother bent down to the little girl and said, "She's on her way." And the little girl looked up to her mother and she said, "Mum, when she gets close, tell me, because I want to make sure I'm smiling." I love that. I love that. You know, we need to be approachable people. There's lots of people I know who want to be approached. They want to be approached so we can give them something. They want to be approached so that they can take something. They want to be approached because they want to be asked to do something. But being approachable is what the Lord Jesus Christ is. And when we follow after Him, we need to be approachable too. Do you know the Bible says, "A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out." He's approachable. But we need to come to Him. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But you've got to come and approach the approachable one. You know, here in this church, I put a premium on what the Bible says. Even if it's in direct contradiction to popular opinion or latest modern theory. But I tell you this, if we teach sound doctrine without a compassionate heart, then we might as well be teaching false doctrine, because few can ever see past their hurt to the heart of what we may be wanting to bless them with in Jesus. Joseph and Tommy, you're blessed to be a blessing. If our children can feel our love, then I promise you, they are going to be motivated to follow our lead. Be approachable. You want to be a good parent? Be approachable. You want to be a faithful disciple? Be approachable. You want to be a real friend? Be approachable. For when we open our hearts to people, they'll open their lives to us. But you know, there's something else here, and that's not only be approachable, be accessible. I mean, it's a little good to be approachable if we're never accessible. That's why Jesus got so upset and mad at His disciples, because they were wanting to block the children coming to Him when He was so approachable. He tells them, "Let the little children," there it is, "let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." You see, an open heart with a closed door is not a blessing, is it? Remember the little boy who got poorly and his dad was the minister of the church? And he said to his mum, "Mum, I need to see dad, I need to see dad, I need to see dad." And mum said, "Dad's very busy at the moment. He can't come." So the little boy said, "Mum, can you go and tell dad I need to see my pastor?" What's the point in having an open heart if we've got a closed door? What's the point in being approachable if we're never accessible? We can be so busy and taken up by trying to do life that we can forget what on earth it is we're alive for. Isn't that true? Do you remember the priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan? Did they see the need? Yes, they did. Did they meet the need? No, because they passed by on the other side. So busy, so active in doing their religious duty that they missed the real need right there in front of them. Are we accessible? Jesus got upset because these disciples, you know, were blocking people coming to him when he wanted to bless them. And we can never be missional as a church if we ever block the path to the Master. I think that's a note of great comfort, but also a note of great challenge for us as parents. Don't you think so? Because how do we show our children that we're accessible to them and that Jesus is there for them? Because we show by example. Billy Graham said, did he not? What are the three things that every parent needs to give to their children for them to grow up, to be the child of God that he intends for them to be? Three things. You ready for these three things? Example, example, example. It's not complicated, but it's absolutely necessary, isn't it? If my child doesn't see me praying, why on earth would it want to pray? My child doesn't see me thankful, why on earth am I going to complain when it's never grateful? If my child cannot see me enjoying fellowship with God's people, why on earth would it want to be in church? As parents, we understand that not only do we be approachable, if we're following Jesus, we're accessible. We're accessible to them. We may be tired at the end of the day. You will be tired at the end of the day. But don't forget to pray with them and to pray for them. Because I promise you, that will reap great reward. Isn't that true? The times when we don't want to be interrupted. We got so many other things to do, but that interruption may be the very blessing that we can bring in the day. Thing that we least wanted to happen most has happened, and it's delivered more than we might have expected. So don't always get down on it. Children read our lives, not our lectures. That's why this pastor, Jim Vowles, said, when love is felt, the message is heard. Are we accessible to people? Are we? We will be if we value them. You give time to people that you value, don't you? You do, I do, and you do. And if you're here this morning and you understand the value that's attached to Olivia because mum and dad are here with her, then I want you too to understand that in his approachability and his accessibility to you, you are valuable to the Lord. You couldn't be more valuable to him. Isn't that an encouragement? I was saying to myself this week, how can I get across to people just how important, how special, how unique and valuable they are individually to the Lord? Because in this text, the people were bringing them one at a time. The Lord wasn't blessing them job lot. Not the way that Del Boy, you know, used to bless the communion wine or got the priest. Not a job lot, one at a time. You are valuable. And I was reading in Genesis 1, verse 16, when God was creating the world, and on the day, on the fourth day, when he created the sun and the moon, do you know what it says at the end of that little verse? It says this, and he made the stars also. Five words. He made the stars also. I laughed at that. Do you know why? Because we live in a world where mankind's intrigued by the stars. Taken by the stars, impressed by the stars. We don't even know how many stars there are out there, do we? We'll never know. And he made the stars also. And yet when Jesus in the New Testament talks about the value of human life and those made in the image of God, those that he was born to live and then die to save. Do you know what he says about those of us? He says, even the hairs on our head are numbered. We don't need to know how many stars there are in the universe, do we? But we've got a God who knows how many hairs are on our head, because we're that important and valuable to them. That's how precious your daughter is to you. That's how precious we are to God. He's approachable. He's accessible. Very quickly, just here. He's also applicable. And I just put this up quickly because he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. What do I mean? He's applicable. He's in a situation where people are bringing children to him to bless. And now he takes the child itself in his arms and he applies through this little child in his arms the very message of saving grace itself. That's what I call being applicable. Grabbing the opportunity while it is there. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Because what can a child do to save itself? Nothing. What can a child do to feed itself? Nothing. To bring in an income? Nothing. It is dependent upon those that love it. Isn't it true? And you know, it's by God's grace that we are saved. It's not our goodness that saves us. It's not what we merit or deserve. It's what God graciously gives us and blesses us with. And Jesus is so applicable because he uses the child as a great illustration of his grace. It's contrasted when you read on, of course, with the rich young ruler who says, all the commandments I have kept since I was a young person. Of course, when Jesus put that to the test, it was discovered that he trusted his money more than he'd ever trust the Lord. But a child is trusting, dependent, humble enough to receive the very gift that it has been given. Applicable. And those of you who don't know that need to know that this morning. That yes, you're precious and you're loved, but the only way you're going to discover it for yourself is if you believe the Lord for what he wants to give you. You trust your life fully to him. Not your goodness, but his goodness for you. And if you do know that, folks, wherever you go with the message, be applicable. Be applicable. When I speak after golf events, do you know what I use a lot of illustrations about? Crochet. No, I don't. Golf. The ladies who meet on a Thursday afternoon, they talk about things and knitting comes into play. There's plenty of opportunity, isn't it? Be applicable. You know, people love to think the church is irrelevant. Christ is never irrelevant. We're all sinners and we need a Saviour. There's no irrelevance to that whatsoever. But so often in the way we present the message, we're not applicable. We're not connecting where people are at and bringing the life of Christ with us into their situation. I encourage you to do it. And then last of all, very quickly as we close, you know, if we're blessed to be a blessing, which we are, then can I suggest that we are affordable? You say, what on earth does that mean? It means that Jesus took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. No charge, no conditions, no caveats. Marvelous. He's affordable. You think the greatest gift in the world is given free of charge to you. Isn't that a marvelous thing? You know, it just blows my mind away that all of my sin was laid upon him. I deserve the pay for my sin. The wages of sin is death. And yet the blessing that God wants to bring me, and it's affordable in him who's approachable and accessible and applicable, because he gives me eternal life. Wow. It's a marvelous thing, isn't it? He's affordable. And if you don't know that, receive it. But if you do, are you affordable? Are you somebody that's got to be thanked for everything that you do, lest you get offended? That's not affordable. Is it? No. You're somebody that needs to be asked to get involved when the need is pretty obvious and you won't volunteer for it. That's not affordable. Do you know what? I am so glad to be pastor of a church where we've got so many affordable disciples. There are people here that if they weren't doing what they do, and many of us don't know what they do, we would notice that they hadn't done it. I look at flowers on a Sunday. I know who's responsible. I know who does it. Never needs a thanks. Never needs anything, you know, too much. And yet, I tell you what, that is shadowing our Saviour. People who go out and get the coffee ready, they're affordable. They haven't got to do it, have they? We don't pay them to do it. In that sense, you can say, I'm not affordable. But I do still come pretty cheap. Do you hear what I'm saying? He was affordable. He brought his blessing. He wants to bring his blessing. And we have been blessed to be a blessing. I've got a lovely wife and I've been blessed with her. But I tell you what, I ought to be a blessing to her. I've got a great church and I've been blessed to pastor the church. But I ought to be a blessing to you as the church that I pastor. Isn't that true? We are blessed to be a blessing. And if we shadow our Saviour, we will have that right at the centre of our hearts. But it's only going to happen if you're approachable, if you're accessible, if you're applicable, and if you're affordable, just like the Lord. So follow my example as I follow the example of Him. God bless you.